अमज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मुखं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकदामायं ददाति सा पदन्तिकम् वैराग्ययुभक्तिलशम्भयत्नाय अपाय मामनदिक्षमन्दं कृपं बुधेय फलदूकदूकि सनातनष्ठं प्रभुमाश्रयामि. वंशाकौपातरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभयेभ्य च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रियाद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So, greetings from Sridham Mayapur. Very amazing city is just growing up. I mean, really, literally, a city. I mean, devotees are just pouring in. I guess a lot has to do with it, with the people with children wanting to put them in the best spiritual atmosphere they possibly can by their own situation or limitations. But it's really nice. And yesterday, there's a few people that I have to and want to visit for lunch. I have relationships with them. So yesterday I went, and the daughter is in the school here, and her friends came over from the school, and after I take lunch, I sit, and I actually give a Bhagavad Gita, you know, five or six, seven of her friends, and they just sit up, and they just listen with such peacefulness and such rapt attention. It was really a very wonderful thing. And then in the evenings, I'm continuing my Gita on the sixth chapter of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. I'll share a little bit of something that today, because I haven't really prepared to begin Upadeshamrita, which I believe is the next book that I will do. But up until that time, I can just share you, you know, what I'm speaking on now. And you know, the concept I was trying to express to the people yesterday, there's really maybe 100 people, beautiful setting in the Vaishnava Academy. And I was trying to explain the concept of rasa. There's rati and there's rasa. Rati means bhava, love, devotion. Rasa is when that the love comes to its perfected height. And that's our goal. And I was explaining that, you know, one of the practical ways in which we try to enter into those feelings is by mixing the songs written by great acharyas in their bhav and the narrations of the Bhagavatam and other rasika literatures from qualified people, and how the system or the method is when you sing these songs and you hear these stories, you start to get a transference of the bhava or the mood of the people who compose them. And when the chanting of Hare Krishna follows, then that helps you to develop sambandha, because the goal of our chanting is absorption. And in the bhakti path, absorption is sambandha. It's a relationship with that name. So by feeling the mood of those whom already have that relationship, it naturally creates in us a mood that leads for a deeper absorption. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught and showed in Puri. Because his objective was to get a deeper feeling of devotion. He wanted the highest feelings of devotion. Of course, it's a story of God seeking himself. But when he was seeking that, the way he did it was to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and develop some bandha or relationship with the Hare Krishna mantra by hearing the Krishna Katha of Ramananda Roy, and to hear the bhajans and the songs by Sarup Damodar. So in the class, I mean, it was very, very interesting, because I thought, this is, today's my last day, and it's such a nice sangha of people who are coming every day. And the nature of Mayapur is that people here are fairly serious. They're very serious, substantial devotees, and so you get such a receptive audience. So Janavi was visiting from England, so I had her. I took the last 2 days more kirtan, so I had her lead kirtan, and it was just wow. It was just so relishable, that mixture, that flavor of katha and kirtan. And I have a very nice godbrother here named Ram Shraddha. He's a Indian family, Brahmin family, and has preached in America and Germany. Extremely talented person. And was chanting some bhajans in the classical mood and then entering in the same melody into the Hare Krishna mantra. And it was really, really wonderful. So I'll tell you a little bit about the story today, and of course it's not like I told it before and once heard it, because I feel, at least when I approach these, you have basically what enters into your explanations are the realizations that you're having at that time from your practices and your life and your studies. So it's really a wonderful story, and it's the essence of the Bhagavatam, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Because, as we know, the beginning of the story, there's Maharaj Prickett on the last day of his life, finishing hearing the Bhagavatam, and then becoming ready to be fixed, because the result of hearing truth is to become fixed in the truth. Our problems is that we're not fixed in the truth because we haven't realized its importance enough. So to realize the importance of truth, You have to repeatedly hear truth. So he heard for 7 days, and he was fixed in truth. So important for us to hear truth, become fixed in truth. And when he became fixed in truth, at that moment when he had that realization and understanding, how his mother came, but she was such a great devotee that he didn't look at it as some type of material attachment that he had to, you know, to give up at the end of his life. He honored her. Because the place he wanted to know what he had heard, and he said, Krishnamaduri, it's Krishnamaduri. There's a very sweet question about Krishna. But because he didn't have time, he had to explain the Bhagavatam in another way. Because the Bhagavatam is a message, and messages are communicated according to the audience. So the same message can be presented in different ways. So the Bhagavatam can be presented in different ways. So he thought of a explanation of a higher level Mahabharata than the one that is commonly read, that presents a more direct understanding and description of Krishna. And he began to explain that story. And the first story is Narada searching for the topmost devotee, and I think we followed this before. And the importance of following the footsteps of great devotees who have that eagerness, the sangha, that eagerness to open their hearts to the hearts that can fulfill their hearts. And increase within them appreciation and love for Krishna. So his enthusiasm is unbounded, and it increases as he's meeting devotees who have more of Krishna. The more intimate your relationship is with Krishna, the more Krishna gives himself to you. So he's actually searching for who are the devotees who have the most Krishna, if have the most mercy of Krishna. And he was told to seek out Uddhava. And Uddhava was sitting on the terrace outside of Krishna's room because Krishna was in a very disturbed state. And he's a little bit in shock. He's also in shock when he sees Narada running into the palace because he looks like an ordinary person haunted by a ghost. Because Maharasena, he's absorbed in a very high emotional state, which takes one away from the, on an external platform in terms of ordinary dealings, it can take you away from the guidance and direction of the intellect. Of course, because it's a spontaneous desire for prema, and that will guide you to prema, but it may not help you function in a socially acceptable way, overwhelmed with ecstasy. So he looked very strange. But then he revealed they asked him, and you know, he was in a very emotional state. And we can imagine what that state is when your heart becomes clean and you can become a receptacle for God's bliss potency that flows through your heart due to your desire to have it, to give Krishna pleasure. It's a very, very wonderful thing. So it can be very, very intensely overwhelming. Like Lord Chaitanya almost collapsed. They didn't even know if he was alive until they put a cotton by his nose. Same thing happened with Gaur Govinda Maharaj in Mayapur. In a very ecstatic state. Only when Krishnadas Babaji came and took a strand of cotton by his nose to see if he was breathing, to understand the consciousness that he was in. So he began to glorify Uddhava in the most superlative terms, based on the authority of things that Krishna himself said. This Uddhava is very much in Krishna's heart because he's his confidant. Even though there's some sense of reverence because he's the Parisha, the Korya, the servant, it's more than that. It's when the servant becomes your confidant or your friend. A very deep relationship. And therefore, Krishna can give Uddhava his heart like he can give no one else outside of Raj. Because what is Krishna's heart? Deepest sense of Krishna's heart are his feelings for the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan. So Uddhava was trusted with that heart to deliver that heart to the gopis who were feeling separation from him. So it's a very beautiful thing. So Uddhava, he initially, a very amazing thing, Uddhava, he's glorified in superlative terms, and he says, yes, I know, I accept this. There's such a samskar, a culture of faith in those types of society that when your guru or teacher says something, people imbibe it so deeply. But even though he said, yes, this is true, it didn't resonate with his understandings and conceptions, and therefore he brought up his doubts to his teacher. And what was his doubt? Well, I also thought I was the greatest, most fortunate recipient of Krishna's mercy because of my deep relationship with you. But when I came to Vrindavan, my pride in that was crushed to dust. Because when I saw the mercy that the residents of Vrindavan, the sweetness of the mercy they've been receiving, the sweetness of the love they have for Krishna, and the sweetness of their overall personality, I was very much overwhelmed. And but better we don't discuss these things now. And Narada, please curb your eagerness. And of course, because Uddhava knew that Krishna was somehow or other having thoughts of the residents of Vrindavan and was in such deep separation from them. So Uddhava understood that if Krishna wakes up hearing these discussions of the residents of Vrindavan, it will affect him very, very deeply. He would be tormented in the mood of Varaha Bhav, tormented. Why? Because Krishna's their life more than we can ever imagine how something can be one's life. Because Krishna is their life and it's actually a reality. It's not ephemeral, it's not temporary, it's eternal, it's real, it's true. It's actually a fact. The object of their life is the object of their life. It's not a shallow concept, a falsely placed faith. It is real, true faith. In sublimity, where sublimity lies. So, so Uddhava explains the position of the gopis that doesn't want to disturb Krishna. But Rohini is there and she knows really the inner meaning of his words, of what it means that they have the ultimate sweetness of Krishna's mercy, the ultimate sweetness. She knows what it means. And because she's Balaram's mother, she's been in Vrindavan, she was a little bit disturbed. She's a little bit disturbed by it. And being disturbed by it, because what she's disturbed about is their love was so great that in Krishna's absence, they're tormented in separation. So she begins to explain the level of love of the Brijbasis. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita is an attempt to describe what actually is the intensity of existential love. Love that actually exists eternally is a reality. Love that's put in people's hearts is a reality. And which is the ultimate reality, rasa vaisaha. So she tries to explain that, and she explains it through the embankment of separation, which is an essential component of praying. Of prema reaching its ultimate height. And so she explains the how much they are scorched and burned and tortured by that love. And drowning in an ocean of gloom, they're all but slain by that separation. Mother Yasoda is crying in a way that how that feelings would make a stone melt or a lightning bolt shatter. What to speak of the level of love of the gopis? And she questions why Krishna did not return, especially because these devotees, the Brijbasis, they're in a samadhi of Krishna's welfare. to the extent that even though living in Vrindavan and there's so many calamities and so many demons coming and so many things happening, that even when Kaliya wrapped Krishna in his coils, he wrapped Krishna in his coils, there were meteors and all sorts of inauspicious things. Ground was shaking. But they were in a trance of Krishna's welfare. There was nothing else, other consideration than that. And therefore, they saw everything in the world as dedicated to Krishna. It's a very powerful consciousness because it's actually reality. Everything in the world is Krishna and is meant for Krishna. And it's the antithesis of material consciousness where we center ourselves, our fears and anxieties and all these thoughts that are constantly coming out of our mind, which is based on really the false ego, the conception that really it's hard to get rid of that conception and break that riddhiya grantha, the knot in the heart of I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. And therefore having a life reactive to the environment, which is not moving according to our enjoyment and control, and therefore suffering so much with ambition, with revenge, with unfulfilled desires. So these resonance, she's describing that their fondness for Krishna is a trance of his welfare. Even on a basic core conception of life, basic core conception of life, just in terms of chanting the holy name, then we have to think of others before ourselves. This consciousness of centering ourselves and really willing and endeavoring, over-endeavoring and over-willing that the world moves according to our desires, putting us, rooting us in material conception, where spiritual life is getting the inspiration and delegation of will from that higher plane representing Krishna and who represents Krishna, and therefore situating ourselves in that platform. And what is that platform? Where the center is Krishna, where the center is something else besides ourselves. That's what happens when you follow Guru and Krishna. You reorient your world in a way that you situate yourself spiritually. That's why there's Guru. Tadri pratipatena pariprashtena sevya upatek shanti te gyaninas tatvadarshana. That's why we have to resituate ourselves, but out of love and understanding. So Rohini criticizes the Krishna subtly, but not out of, you know, she said, I made a mistake. I brought this to him. I tried to tell him how the Brijvasis were. And I put him at the risk of Viraha Bhav, the torment of Viraha Bhav. I put him at that risk. So the point we discussed yesterday, and it was last night, it was so relishable that Rukmini, Krishna's wife, she doesn't like that Rohini, even out of her love, is saying how much suffering Krishna caused by neglecting the Brijavasis. Of course, she doesn't broach the point why Krishna hadn't returned, which is really the issue. He loves them so much, why he didn't return? But what she wants to do is share the inner sentiments of Krishna, his heart, because she knows his heart. She is Navasasya Hridaye. She's in his heart. And this is what bhakti means. You have to enter in the heart of Krishna. You have to enter into the heart of the devotees by pleasing them. That's what bhakti means. Bhakti doesn't mean chanting. Bhakti doesn't mean parikram, worship of the deity. It means those things when they're done to please Krishna and please Guru. Because Prabhupada gives the example, the Guru wants a glass of water, you bring him a glass of milk. It's not for his pleasure. But even worse than that, the Guru asks you to clean a room and you go out on parikram. So then is parikram bhakti? Is parikram bhakti? No, bhakti means to please. It's the whole conception of bhakti. It's oriented on that. And when you have that mood, then you invoke someone's love. And when you invoke someone's love, you enter into their heart. And when you enter into their heart, then you find out really what pleases that person on the deepest level. Because all a person's desires can be shared, because not everybody has a frame of reference to understand them. So she understands the heart. She's entered into the heart. She understands, and she's going to share something very amazing. She's going to share. Now, it may sound erotic right now, but that's not my point, and you'll see what I mean. She's going to share what it's like lying in bed next to Krishna. In the sense that she gets to understand his inner feelings, his heart, which is so soft, soft as newly churned butter. What a beautiful analogy. Oh, newly churned butter. I go to the Goshala Prem Kishore, newly churned butter. He's explaining that when Krishna is sleeping, he starts to talk in a very sweet voice, and he begins to call his cows in Vrindavan. He has 108 herds, and he calls them, counting their names on the money mala, the jewel mala of 108 beads. And sometimes he's calling the gopis, sometimes he's calling his friends. And sometimes when he sleeps, his body morphs into a threefold bending form while he's lying in bed with Rukmini. She's watching this. And of course, it's the full extent of Krishna's beauty, because the blowing the flute, a threefold bending form, are manifestations of his full heart, which is only manifest in Braj, where he can be himself fully, not where he has the protocol of a king and a husband even. So this full extent of Krishna's beauty manifests in relationship to the most intimate love. And then sometimes he's calling out to his mother, "Mother, give me fresh butter." And sometimes he calls out to Rukmini, thinking that she's Radha or Lalita. And sometimes he pulls on her garment and asks her, "What are you doing, Chandravali?" And sometimes he drenches the pillow on his bed with floods of tears. And sometimes he wakes up and rises from bed and he cries in a pitiful voice, drowning in an ocean of pain and grief. And then she tells Uddhavan, who's there, that last night this must have been something in a dream, because he was weeping sorrowfully, and he was beside himself with agitation. He's lying in his bed and he pulls his cover over his head. He's not performed his morning duties. So the whole Brihat Bhagavatamrita, that the essence of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said, I could not finish, at the very beginning of this, actually on the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, on 2.1, Krishna Das Kaviraj said, I've previously given a synopsis of everything. Now I'll give a little more detail because I don't know how long I'll live. The purport, Prabhupada really becomes inspired. He said, I also don't know how long I would live. And therefore, I gave the Krishna book, the 10th canto, which is the essence of the Bhagavatam. He gave the essence of the Bhagavatam. So this is the essence of the Bhagavatam. It's what? It's the most intimate side of God. That's what the Bhagavatam is. That's what the Brihat Bhagavatamrita is. And this story is pointing it out because it's showing what Krishna's feelings is for the residents of Vrindavan, and it's showing what the feelings of the residents of Vrindavan of Krishna, which is the highest manifestation of mercy. This is the fullest manifestation of Krishna giving himself to the devotee, and it's the fullest manifestation of the devotee's love for Krishna. So in this way, we've been discussing these subjects every night. And it's very, very sweet. It's very, very beautiful. And then we mix it with the kirtan. And it's a very, very wonderful thing. And in Mayapur, which is Odarya Dham, there's a certain kripa, there's a certain mercy here, which is indelibly sweet. Well, sure. Okay, are there any questions? Someone please say hello to alleviate my fear that I was just speaking into the stratosphere.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Anyone else like to say hello?
Yes, dear Maharaj, this is Katya. Hello. Thank you so much for the lecture, the class.
Oh, wonderful, Katya. Thank you so much for listening. I know you enjoy this stories of Krishna in this way.
Oh, yes, very much.
Okay, thank you so much. Anyone else like to say hello?
I only wish you had gone a little further with Rukmini's description while she was lying.
Well, what happens now, Gail, is interesting too, and maybe I'll get to cover it next week. I don't know. What happens is Balaram sides with his mother. That Krishna is. He says Krishna's just faking these emotions because he's said actions speak louder than words. If he really had these sentiments, why doesn't he go back to Vrindavan?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then, you know, he explains how he sent him, and, you know, no one can be satisfied. And, of course, anyway, I'll tell the rest of the story next week, although I did teach this once, but it's really special when you're teaching it every day. You get to go deeper and deeper. And these people are very, very special, very special. Mm. Plus, we always have representatives from America. Gopi Shore is in the audience, and Charuchandra, and a lady from Philadelphia, another lady that became a devotee on our tour, and Mundali and Janavi. That was nice to see them in the audience. Venkat Bhatta, nice to also have him in the audience. So it's
oh, he's there. Mayapur
gets a lot of people from outside, and then, yeah. Okay, well, thank you, Gail.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end for now. Once you go through your circuit.